Okay, good afternoon to everyone. It's my joy to be able to bring you God's Word this afternoon. Just a little update with reference to Pastor. So Pastor has been going for dialysis. Basically, dialysis is the cleaning of the blood within a person. He went for dialysis on last Wednesday, last Friday, yesterday, and then the third one will be on Monday. So then he will be admitted, and then Wednesday will be his operation, okay, together with Auntie as well. So let's continue to pray for them. Let's pray for God's mercy and grace to be with them. And so even as we worship today, let's focus on the Lord. I'm sure all of us are concerned for Pastor and Auntie Sally. And I think that's something that we want to bring before the Lord. But even as we worship today, let's focus on the Lord. Let's focus on God and His sovereignty. That ultimately God is in charge of everything. He's in control of everything, including our lives. When we are born, when we will die, how we will live each day and every day, God is there. And God will work all things for our good. And our part is to trust in Him. And I think that's something we want to do even as we look forward to worshiping the Lord. It's good for us to enter into what I call for myself a season of prayer. A season where I enter into prayer specifically for people that, you know, all of us care about. Let's enter into a season of prayer for Pastor and Auntie, but at the same time, let's focus on the Lord. Let's not focus on the what ifs. What if, what if, what if. Let's not focus on that. Let's focus on God and His sovereignty and His love and His grace and His mercy. Okay? So let's prepare our hearts as we look forward to worshiping the Lord today. Thank you, Lorraine. That was beautiful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we seek to worship the Lord this afternoon. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your holy presence, before your throne of grace this afternoon. We come with hearts wanting to worship you. We also want to pray for Pastor and Auntie Sally, that Lord, you will be with them in a very special way as they prepare for their respective operation. We pray that you will grant them your grace and your mercies and be with them in a very special way. We pray for the doctors, that Lord, you will grant them wisdom as they operate. And Lord, we ask, dear Lord, that you will wash and cleanse us of our sins as we seek, Lord, to sing praises to you. Bless all that will be said this afternoon. We pray that you will use what will be said to encourage hearts and challenge lives. And we pray that you will accept, Lord, this worship that we will give to you. So be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Joshua.
My name is Jerome.
When I was asked to share something this week, I thought it would be with my wife. But Jerome is a close second.
Yes, and...
Sorry.
Yeah, he only just told me he'll be making that joke today. Well, my name is Jerome, and today is the first time that Teacher Josh and I are sharing together today. And so you may be wondering, what is the relationship between Teacher Josh and I? And to clarify once again, no, we are not husband and wife. But Teacher Josh was my Sunday school teacher in JSS when I was in primary school. And it is truly a privilege to be able to share with Teacher Josh here today.
So this was the photo we took. Very adorable, right? You see some familiar faces. That was Children's Day 2018. And something that our Sunday school class really loved to do was to play laser tag. So I think for one full year, every Sunday school outing will be going to different places to play laser tag. So that was one place. The second one, this is another place, Laser Quest. If you look closely, you'll see some familiar faces. There is Jerome, Thaddeus, Ethan. Thaddeus, if you look behind, still looks exactly the same. Jerome and Thaddeus obviously were trying to be cool. And Ethan trying to shoot Thaddeus. Where are you? I understand how you feel. Okay, but in all seriousness, besides seeing how all of them have grown up physically, it's very heartening and it's my joy to see all of them grow up spiritually. And this is the recent photo we have taken together at their baptism. And it's really, truly a joy and privilege to be sharing with Jerome today.
Well, today Teacher Josh and I are here to share about our reflections even as we approach serving at Junior Camp. As Junior Camp will be happening in just a few months' time, the series of sharings at Youth Worship for the next few weeks. Sorry, Junior Camp happening in June, in 1 month's time. Yeah. Yes, the upcoming series of Youth Worship sharings revolve around the theme of serving at Junior Camp. For those of you who may not know what Junior Camp is about, we have some photos to share with you all. Well, first and foremost, Junior Camp is an opportunity, a four-day camp for the children to know and get to learn from the Word of God. And you can see Teacher Gabe is holding the Bible and teaching the children about from God's Word.
So besides Bible study, we have also an activity session where some of the teachers will also help the campus with their activities and their arts, the art and crafts. As you can see, Leon is helping one of the campers there. I'm actually not sure he knows what he's doing also, but he's there. And besides activities, the children really look forward to one part of Junior Camp, which is the sketch exactly. And this is one of the photos. When teacher Yuan Yi first saw this photo, she said it was clubbing. Looks like clubbing. I can assure you it's not clubbing. Clubbing is... No, this is also not clubbing. But really a dance that was painstakingly choreographed to bring forth truths from the lives of the missionaries and truths about God to the children.
Well, jokes aside, I think even as I approach serving at junior camp, one thing that stands out to me is basically a heart of service. In Bethany, we see this heart of service in many ways, such as the uncles and aunties who would cook in the kitchen each week, and also the many of us youths who would serve in the custodial ministry each week. And in serving at junior camp, we can also see this heart of service. And one way in which I've been able to see this heart of service is at Sketch. And you know, in the photos that you saw, the dance scenes, the choreography, all the props had to be made. And Sketch rehearsals would also often extend late into the night. And I can see through Sketch the amount of work, effort, and thought put into camp. And that is our heart of service shown through Sketch. Well, Sketch is just one of the many examples of the heart of service which we see at camp. And beyond just the physical actions of service, this heart of service is also seen in the way which we serve, such as the joy in which we are serving, though it may be tiring, and also the proactiveness that is there to help in whatever ways that is needed. Learning from the examples of those who have shown a heart of service at junior camp, I sincerely hope that we as youths will also be able to learn what it means to have this heart of service. And well, this heart of service first starts with having a heart of love for God. In the past few months, we have been learning from the book of Deuteronomy. And as we have read in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 5, which is the Shema, it reads, "Hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." A heart of service is not developed in merely the outward actions of service towards the Lord, but rather it is developed from what our inward reasons for serving the Lord are. And for some of us, perhaps we may be serving because our friends are serving, or perhaps because our pastors or parents or teachers have told us to serve. And well, these reasons are not wrong for wanting to serve. And I also once was in such a position of serving for such reasons. But if I can say this, that over the years, as I learned what it means to develop a close and personal relationship with the Lord, I think that this love, a heart of love for the Lord that I've discovered, now becomes my reasons for wanting to serve Him. I hope that each of us will also be able to discover what it means to have a personal heart of love for the Lord and develop the right heart of service from there. This applies be it whether we seek to serve Him in the upcoming junior camp and even in our weekly service to Him on Sundays. Well, the next song we will be singing is Deeper in Love. This song is a plea to the Lord for us to cultivate a genuine heart of love for Him. As it says in the chorus, "Take me deeper, deeper in love with you, deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I long to be deeper in love." I hope that as youths, we will be able to firstly cultivate a heart of personal love for the Lord. And not only that, but go forth as the next generation of Bethany, and out of this heart of love for Him, may we also learn how to have a heart of service to Him and to seek to faithfully serve Him for the rest of our lives. May we take this song together.
Thank you, Lorraine, for playing, and thank you to the AV team, Thaddeus, for doing AV. Thank you. Junior camp was the first camp I really started learning how to serve in. From my first junior camp until now, I have served almost only in one subcommittee, which is AV. Believe it or not, when I was allowed to choose my subcommittee, the first camp I chose to be in publicity. I can't draw or paint or design to save my life, and I don't know why I chose publicity, but at the end of junior camp, I knew, the publicity subcommittee knew, and the camp commandants knew that publicity was really not my thing. So that was the first and last time I served in publicity. From that junior camp onwards, they decided to confine my damage to AV. And so I've been serving in AV since. And as I reflected on the multiple junior camps that have passed, I've also asked myself, what have I actually been learning? And one lesson is how I can serve the Lord better. When I was younger, I thought of service as what I can do for God. I can offer time and energy to serve Him. I can try to work hard to make things go as smoothly as possible. There was a lot of focus on self. But as I grew older, there was a change in focus. I came to realize and appreciate so much more of what God has done for me. Everything I have is from God. He has seen me through the different phases of life, through school, through university, through challenges in work, through finding a life partner, through building a family. And it's when I focus on who God is and what He has done that I see service as the only appropriate and, if I may add, automatic response. And Romans 12:1 was one of the texts that was shared with me a while back, and it helped to shape my perspective towards service. Romans 12:1 reads, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Romans 12:1 is a response from what Paul was teaching from Romans 1 all the way to Romans 11. He wrote about a God who saves, a God who is just, a God who gives spiritual help. And after all that was taught about who God is, Romans 12 records the appropriate and automatic response to give ourselves to God. And this service is only reasonable and not something much to speak of. The focus points back to God and not on what I can do for God. Besides a change in focus, over the years, this focus on God has also become clearer. Focusing on God is something that we have been learning about in Deuteronomy. Last week, Pastor taught us about the rise and fall of Israel, and I am encouraged to keep on rising and not to fall. And to ensure that I do not forget what God has done and who God is, this year I started keeping a practice, which is to note down in a notebook what God has done for me, which helps me remember how He was there in challenging times, and how He has blessed. This has helped me to be more conscious of God and to keep my focus on Him. With a stronger focus on the Lord through these years, it compels me to serve Him even more, as He rightly deserves so. And these lessons that I've learned are not just applicable to junior camp, but service as a whole. We may not be serving at junior camp, but as we serve in different areas in church, we can also cultivate the right perspective, a perspective that is centered on God and not ourselves. The second song is Dare to Run. Dare to Run speaks about a challenge to commence a journey of faith, but it also speaks about a challenge to continue running this journey of faith with our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. For those of you who are still thinking of helping out at junior camp or to serve in church generally, may you decide to commence this service, this journey of service and faith. This is a wonderful decision you can make that you will not regret. May we not lose sight of the Lord as we seek to do our best for Him. Let's take this song together. Thank you. We hand the time over to the scripture reader.
Good afternoon, everyone. today, we'll be reading from Deuteronomy 32, verses 48 to 52. In this passage, we read of God's decree for the death of Moses. Yet even so, we see God's mercy towards Moses. Deuteronomy 32. Then the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, Go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho. View the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet you shall see the land before you, though you shall not go there, into the land which I am giving to the children of Israel.
Good afternoon, everyone. Last week, we heard the exhortation to set our hearts on all the words of the Lord. Why was it necessary for Israel to do this? Why is it important for us to do this today? The Bible tells us that the human heart is deceitful and exceedingly wicked. We underestimate how easily the human heart is distracted by the things of the world, how divided it can be by the things we give importance to, how distant it gets when we forsake God, and how disinterested it becomes when we frequently forget His word. This afternoon, as I make this prayer of intercession for us all, the prayer I am making for us is that God may help us take practical steps to respond appropriately to His word as we seek to set our hearts on His words. Well, let's pray together this afternoon. Our Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for your word. Your word encourages and inspires us to rise. Your word warns us of the dangers of falling. Your word brings hope of the restoration you so mercifully offer those who have fallen, but those who have returned to you. Father, as we desire to remember your words, enable us to receive them well with a noble and good heart. As we yearn to have a high regard for your word, may we first cultivate a high regard for you. And as we strive to live out your word each day, help us learn that this will never be a futile thing, but a tremendous blessing. All these we pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for your part in leading in youth worship today. I think it's wonderful to be able to just focus on the Lord and His Word. Now, today we're going to study a passage that is going to help us understand a few things about faith and about ministry. Now, in this passage that Beth just read, it's a passage about God preparing Moses for death. Now, Moses had a tremendous ministry in serving God. He led the people of Israel out of Egypt. He did powerful signs and wonders by God's power, the 10 plagues, opening up the Red Sea, and so on. He became the spiritual leader of the nation of Israel. He was a great lawgiver. He wrote 5 books: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's a lot of many, many things that he has written. And now, God was preparing him to die. Every servant of God has to face that one day. We all will die one day. It is inevitable. And God was preparing Moses for this day that will come very soon. Now, the sad thing is that he was not going to die in the promised land. Can you imagine? 40 years of traveling to this one place that God had promised to the nation of Israel. 40 years anticipating to go and be in the land of Canaan. But now God tells him, you will not go into the promised land. Instead, you will die on this mountain called Mount Nebo. Now, this was because he had sinned against God. Moses started well, very well, as a servant of God. However, his ending was dampened by the consequences of his own sin. So we want to take a bit of time. We want to take a bit of time to firstly comprehend God in how he meets out judgment and in judgment of sin. Okay? Now, Deuteronomy 32, verse 49, we read of how the Lord spoke to Moses on the very same day, go up to this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho, view the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Now, God would not allow Moses to go into the land of Canaan. Okay, now this idea has been repeated several times. We'll come to it in Numbers 20, verse 1 to 11, 27, 12 to 14, and then in Deuteronomy 3, verse 23 to 29. These were some of the mentions with reference to Moses not going into the promised land. Now, he will be gathered to his people. Now, this is what we call an idiomatic phrase. It means that he will be gathered to his ancestors, right? It was time for Moses to die. So gathered to his people is a nice way of saying you will die, right? For us, we say someone passed away, right? Or someone is going home to be with the Lord. Sometimes people say he kicked the bucket. That's not a nice way of saying it, but, you know, for some older people, they will say kick the bucket. So life and death are part of what all men, including servants of God, will experience. Now, Moses' death will be in the land of Moab. The land of Moab, the Moabites, are actually the enemies of Israel. Okay, so he will die and be buried outside of the promised land. His body will be buried in enemy territory at an unknown place. No one will know where he will be buried. Okay, can you imagine? One day when you die, you'll be buried in Malaysia or Indonesia. Would you want that for yourself? I would have none of it. Okay, here is home, Bethany. No, I wouldn't be buried here in Bethany, but I'll be buried in Singapore. Here is home, here is where I want to be, right? I think that's all of us. We feel that way. So the promised land, the land of Canaan, was meant to be home to the people of Israel. Can you imagine the frustration, the disappointment that Moses must have felt? In fact, Moses even asked God whether he could go into the land. Okay, now let's turn to Deuteronomy 3. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, and in verse 23, okay, and I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, now, verse 23, now, then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness, your mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven, on earth, who can do anything, your works and your mighty deeds. You see, he's trying to tell God, wow, God, you are really a great God. What is his request? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. You see, he really wanted to go into the promised land. But God said, the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more of me of this matter. That's it. Period. He cannot go into the land of Canaan. Right? No more. Enough. Why? Okay, instead you will go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes towards the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold, with your eyes, you shall not cross over his Jordan. Why? But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he will go over before these people. Now, Joshua is going to take over from Moses. So he will be the one that will lead the people of Israel in the promised land. Moses' job was done. Okay? So he tried. He tried asking God whether he could go. And God said, no. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy 32. And then let's take a bit of a moment to try to understand, to comprehend God and his righteousness with reference to his judgment of Moses' sin. Now, it may seem that God was rather harsh in his punishment against Moses. Now, it's important for us to understand God from his point of view. And I think it's important for us to understand that God does not take sin lightly. It does not matter who you are. When you sin against God, it is a sin. Disobeying God before the people is seen as a rebellion, a sin of rebellion. Moses actually rebelled against God. So it is indeed a grave sin. God does not take sin lightly. As a righteous God, he takes seriously the sin of rebellion. Moses had sinned. He has seen the people of Israel rebel against God, against God's command, right? Don't go into the promised land. The people rebelled. And they had to roam in the wilderness for 40 years. He knew what is the sin of rebellion. Moses should have known better how serious the sin of rebellion is. You know, young people, don't take sin lightly. Sometimes we think that we can sin and get away with it. God is fair in his punishment. God dealt with his people when they rebelled. God will also deal with his servants when they rebel. Just because people are serving God, just because you are serving God, doesn't mean that you can get away with sinning. God is fair. God is just. God is fair in how he deals with his servants when they sin. Moses should have known better. So God is just and fair in his judgment. Don't talk to me anymore about it. That's it. You are not going to go in. And you know, God will deal with the sins of his servants and leaders more severely. In fact, greater is the judgment concerning those who serve him. Yes, we all want to lead. We all want to be servants. We all want to be leaders. But it's important for us to understand that actually there is greater responsibility, greater accountability to God. As a leader, when you sin against God, God sees it with stricter judgment. As a leader, Moses was subject to higher standards in judgment. God holds a leader, a servant of God, to a higher standard. You know, I'm glad to see many of you wanting to serve at a junior camp coming up. But even as you lead, you have to understand that you are setting yourself to a higher standard. A higher standard of the way God will look at you. God holds a leader to a higher standard. From him to whom much is given, much more will be required. Moses would no longer be the leader in the promised land. It will be Joshua. You know, not too long ago, we remember how our ex-transport minister, how he allowed himself to take so-called bribes along the way, about 300,000 worth, and he was reprimanded, punished for it, when the government found out. And he had to go to jail, right? He had to pay the price for his mistake. He should have known better, right? Some years ago, there was a pastor from the church who misappropriated $50 million from the church. And he had to pay a price for it. He had to go to jail. And his sentence was the longest among a few of them who were all charged for this crime. See, as a leader, you have to account for your deeds and be accountable to it even more. God holds a leader to higher standards. Okay? Now, what were the consequences? The consequences to the severity of Moses' sin. So this was a consequence of Moses' sin. Moses' punishment was a consequence of his own sin. When we sin, there will be consequences. Okay? There's no such thing as no consequences. God did not just see this sin as a single issue. The sin of Moses is actually a deep problem. Now, let's go to Numbers 20. In Numbers 20, we go back to the original passage where Moses sinned against God. So in Numbers 20, we read of how this was something that was done at Kadesh. Okay, now the people of Israel, they had sinned against God. Now, the word that is used when we read in Deuteronomy 32 is the word trespass. Trespass against God at the water of Meribah Kadesh. Now, the word trespass has the idea of knowing this was wrong and still purposefully sinning against God. So the word trespass is simply an act that breaks the law. A trespass is essentially a sin against both man and God. Basically, it's going against God and his word. For us, the word trespass, in the way we use it, is that when you go into someone's property, you are trespassing. Right? When there's a line that's drawn, you cannot cross it. That's the word trespass. That's how we understand it. But with reference to God, when God draws a line, don't cross it. Now, Moses crossed a line. What was that line? Now, let's turn to Numbers 20. And so the people contended with Moses when there was no water. And so Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces before God. And God told Moses to speak to the rock. To the rock. Take the rod, and you and your brother, Aaron, verse 8, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. You shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Now, he followed this. Now, look what Moses did next. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" What did God say? Did God say, "Go and speak to the people"? No. God say, "Speak to the rock." That's it. So Moses has crossed the line, right? He is now crossing the line. He's adding to what God said. Then Moses lifted his hand, struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. Wow. Speak to the rock. What did he do? He struck the rock twice. He struck one time. Nothing happened. He struck another time. And this time, water came out. And God was angry with him. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given to you." Okay, verse 24, "Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word." Rebel. You see, God draws a line, he crosses it. Right? He spoke to the people with anger. He told them, "You rebels." But you know what? He was rebelling against God himself. "You rebels." But here we read, God saw it as rebelling against him. So when we look at what Moses did, we can understand that what he has done is that he has trespassed against God, and this was one of the reasons. He trespassed against God's word. And Moses was so angry with the people that he struck the rock twice. He allowed his anger to greatly affect his actions. And this was something that God was angry. He disobeyed the Lord's word. He rebelled against God. Turn with me to Numbers 27 now. Numbers 27 and in verse 14. "Go into the Mount Abiram and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you shall be gathered to your people." And Aaron, your brother, was gathered. "For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hallow me at the waters before their eyes." So he trespassed against God. That's one of the reasons why he could not go into the promised land. He trespassed against God. He rebelled. That was a severe sin before God. Now, as we look at what Moses had done, we want to go a bit deeper into understanding this sin. Now, this sin was not a single issue. This sin included other things. Now, let's go back to Numbers 20. And in Numbers 20, we read, "Because you did not believe me. You did not believe me. There was a problem of not believing God. There was a lack of faith. Now, this lack of faith, it is not like the unbelief of the people of Israel, where they totally have no belief. Now, Moses obviously had belief, but at this point of time, you know, he was stressed, he was facing a lot of stress, he was facing the strain of ministry, he was fed up with the people of Israel, he was angry, he was upset. And in the midst of that, in the midst of his anger, he committed this sin. He did not exercise faith. See, sometimes when we are so overwhelmed with our emotions, when we get so upset and frustrated, faith is not there. Feelings takes over. Without faith, he could not please God. The command was to speak to the rock. That was not done with faith. He did something else. He struck the rock with anger and frustration. He did not believe that God would bring water out of the rock for the people. He was so angry and fed up with the people. He did not speak to the rock as God had commanded him. This was a lack of faith. One, he transgressed against God. Two, there was a lack of faith. Three, he did not hallow the Lord before the people. He did not revere the Lord God in front of the people. He did not keep the word of God personally. He did not lift up the Lord and his name. He was more concerned about how he felt rather than obeying God and his name. And because of this, he would not go into the land of Canaan. You know, when we serve God, we represent God. As a leader, we cannot allow ourselves to be overcome by our emotions, our feelings, because we represent God. And when we represent God, we must guard the Lord's name. We must always hallow. The word hallow is to make holy. It is to honor. It is to glorify the Lord's name. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, hallowed be your name. Hallow means is to make holy, to make sacred. It is to honor the Lord's name. That is something that we should always do in everything that we do in service. In the midst of that, Moses sinned against God. So one, he trespassed against God's command. He disobeyed God's command severely. Two, there was a lack of faith. There was a lack of faith. He did not exercise faith. And three, he did not hallow the Lord's name before God. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy 32. Right? Because you trespass against me among the children of Israel, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. Now, in the midst of all that, there is still the mercies of God. Yet you shall see the land before you, though you shall not go there into the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. Now, in the midst of all that, there is still mercy extended to Moses. He was allowed to see the land. You cannot go in, but you can at least see the land. So there's the comprehension of God, there's the consequences to severity of sin, but there's also the continuing extension of mercy given to Moses. The Lord was still merciful to Moses. Even though God would not allow him to go into the promised land, the Lord showed mercy to him. He could see the land. So he will go up to this mountain range, and then he will go up to Mount Nebo on top of a place called Pisgah, and then he can see the land. Okay, what did Moses see? What do you think that Moses saw? Let me show you a picture. Okay, so I'm going to show you a picture on top of Mount Nebo. Okay, and this is a picture where you can see, okay, so this is on top, and before you is the land. Now, where's the River Jordan? Most probably is somewhere here. Okay, on the left here is the Dead Sea, and then here's the Jordan River, and beyond that is the land of Canaan, Jerusalem, and all this. Next photograph. Okay, here's a clearer picture. Okay, so no need to go there on a tour, and you really can see what Moses saw. So this is the Dead Sea, and then most probably that's the river, and then that's the land of Canaan. Another photograph. Before this, number one. Now, this is what Moses would have seen. This is Mount Nebo, and then this is what he would have seen. Can you see? Okay, so the range is called Abarim. Okay? It's a range of mountains, and then there's a particular pinnacle called Nebo, and then that's where he went. Okay, thanks. So he was given this privilege of being at least, to see the land before he died. In comparison to others, Aaron did not get to see the land of Canaan. Miriam did not get to see the promised land. At least Moses did. At least he saw the land before he passed away. Okay, so now, what can we learn from this passage this morning? Number one, let's learn to hallow God and his name. In whatever we do for God, we must always hallow his name. Whether we are serving in small ways or big ways, we should always seek to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. It is hallowing the Lord and his name in our hearts. It is filling our hearts with all things that is of God, his word, his ministry, his promises, the Lord Jesus. We fill our hearts so much with God that we set aside ourselves, our feelings, and our focus is God. We should hallow the Lord's name in all that we do. As a leader, as someone who is leading others, God must always be hallowed. God must always be honored. Moses rebelled against God, and he did not hallow the Lord. He did not follow the Lord's command, and he purposely disobeyed God. He did not hallow the Lord. We must, especially if we are leaders. Two, let's learn to have faith. Let's learn to do all things with faith, not feelings. Not because you just feel good about it. Whenever we serve the Lord, whatever we do, it must be done with faith. Moses had unbelief when he sought to do what he wanted, what God wanted him to do. You know, we can serve the Lord and yet do it without faith. We can do it with feelings. The challenge for us is to do it with faith. This, if we serve without faith, it does not hallow the Lord. Some of you will be serving at the junior camp coming up as leaders. You know, serving the Lord, you must serve with faith at all times. Sometimes it will be tired. You'll be tiring. Sometimes it will be challenging looking after children for 4 days. At all times, we must serve with faith. And you know, for the rest of us, we also must learn how to serve with faith. We also must learn how to sing in the youth choir with faith. Serving, you know, by as you clean up, serve with faith. Faith in serving is what we must have. As a leader, what is expected of us is we must be examples of faith in all that we do. And I think that's something for us to consider. Yesterday, we had a company to come to clean a particular thing that has not been cleaned for a very, very long time. So in the church, we have this thing called a grease trap. Okay, basically, it's a place where all the grease from the kitchen is trapped. Okay, and we're supposed to clear it every other month or so. So it hasn't been cleared for a long, long time. So the person that was on duty yesterday was Pastor John, right? And I was also here. And both of us, we spoke to the people who were doing it. And I tell you, it was a very interesting experience. Okay? Now, the amount of grease in the grease trap was this much. You know, it was so smelly. When the guy opened up the thing, they were so, you know, shocked. You can see they were so shocked. And then they asked, how long, when was the last time you all cleaned this thing? And so, despite that, both of us, with faith, you know, did our part. We helped the person, we guided the person. I tell you, yesterday, for about an hour, the whole church was so smelly. You know, it was horrible. But you know what? We will still do it. Why? Because we want to honor the Lord, even in doing this thing. John told me that last night when he went back home, he could still smell what he smelled, what he experienced. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. Let's always do it with faith. Not feelings. Faith. And then thirdly, let's learn to obey the Lord rather than rebel. We must learn to obey the Lord in all things, not with rebellion. It's easy for us to want to rebel against God, to rebel against God's commandments. That was what Moses did, and God had to punish him for it. Our challenge is to humble ourselves and to learn to obey. It is not picking and choosing what we want to obey the Lord in. It's not about partial obedience. It's about total obedience. My challenge to all of you today is to learn not to sin against God, but to learn how to humble ourselves and to obey Him. And when we seek to hallow the Lord and His name, we exercise faith and obey His word, you know, God will bless what we seek to do for Him. Okay? And at the end of the day, the Lord will be honored when we follow the Lord in these ways. Well, this is something I hope you will consider and pray about. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this afternoon, even as we consider what happened to Moses, we pray, dear Lord, that You will help us, Lord, to understand how You regard sin, how You do not take lightly when sin is done against You, even for servants of God. We ask, dear Lord, that You will help us to take heed and to learn from this lesson. Teach us, Lord, how to hallow You in all that we do. Teach us, Lord, how to have faith, not feelings, even as we serve You. And we pray, dear Father, that we will learn to obey You in all things. And this afternoon, we pray that even as we seek to do these things, help us to apply this at the junior camp that's coming up, whether we serve as officers or helpers. We pray that you will use us to glorify your name. And we pray that even as we give this offering to you, that you use it for your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you hear me? Okay. Well, take time to think through this word that was given. You know, take time to think through how we can exercise faith and how we can also deal with the sins in our life. Right? Moses had a problem with anger, but he didn't deal with it. It was something that kept bugging him again and again. And finally, he exploded, and that cost him his entrance into the promised land. So ask the Lord to deal with your life. Learn to have faith. Seek to honor Him in everything that you do. Okay? Well, have a good Saturday, and I'll see you all tomorrow.